Pistachios, they are one of my go-to nuts on my yes food list in all my best-selling books. Crack into a good source of plant protein with tasty, healthy, wonderful pistachios. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. In fact, it's one of the highest protein nuts out there. I love that wonderful pistachios come in a variety of sizes and flavors, the perfect protein snack for any on-the-go adventure. So, whether you're dropping off the kiddos, on a long hike, or running between meetings, fuel up with a healthy and tasty food that loves you back. Wonderful Pistachios will be your new go-to snack. Check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
Welcome to the Dr. Gundry Podcast, the weekly podcast where Dr. G gives you the tools you need to boost your health and live your healthiest life.
Welcome to the Dr. Gundry Podcast. Tasty, filling, quick, and healthy? Well, if you're still searching for the perfect snack, this is an episode you're going to love. Today, we're going to do a deep dive on peely nuts, one of the healthiest nuts on the planet and one of my personal favorites. But I'm not the only one who's excited about this super nut. In just a moment, you'll hear from Jason Thomas, the founder of Peely Hunters, a sustainable food company aiming to reshape the food industry one nut at a time. Jason will share how he built an incredibly successful company with just 15 pounds of deep-fried peely nuts and a dream. We'll also discuss the benefits of peely nuts and how having just a handful a day could support your health. So don't go away. We'll be right back. Pistachios, they are one of my go-to nuts on my yes food list in all my best-selling books. Crack into a good source of plant protein with tasty, healthy, wonderful pistachios. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. In fact, it's one of the highest protein nuts out there. I love that wonderful pistachios come in a variety of sizes and flavors, the perfect protein snack for any on-the-go adventure. So, whether you're dropping off the kiddos, on a long hike, or running between meetings, fuel up with a healthy and tasty food that loves you back. Wonderful Pistachios will be your new go-to snack. Check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day. Jason, welcome to the show.
Hey, Dr. Gundry, thanks for having me on.
So, Jason, I'm personally a huge fan of peely nuts. And for listeners who don't know, what the heck is a peely nut?
A peely nut is the world's healthiest nut. It's this exotic nut from Asia, highest fat, lowest carbohydrate, highest magnesium, full of copper, zinc, manganese. They're sustainably grown. They're wild grown. It's just this really interesting nut that I discovered on a kite surfing trip in the Philippines.
Some people who have heard of peely nuts say, oh my gosh, that's that nut that's pure fat, and fat is bad for you. And yeah, I think peely nuts taste really good, but I can't have all that fat. Well, what say you?
Well, so, you know, and that's always been a, you'd be the expert on that, but the keto dieters grabbed it because of that fat. The vegan people love it because of that high saturated fat that they may not get from, or vegetarians for that matter, that it may not get from meat sources. So that fat, you could expound on that, the saturated fat and the fats that are actually good for you. We've been told for a long time it's not good for you. So you're the expert on that, and you could tell more about that. But that the people love that, and they also love the fact that they're so satiating, just a little bit of nuts, if you don't overdo it, will satiate you, especially if you're doing a low carb diet.
Yeah, I know. You know, you and peely nuts appear in a lot of the keto literature, a lot of the chat sites, and I actually, you know, mention peely nuts in all of my books as a, you know, as a safe nut. Do you ever get pushback that fat makes you fat? And yeah, I love your nuts, but I don't want to get fat.
Absolutely, we get that all the time. And God, it's hard to break that. It's even ingrained in me, even though I have this company. It's just eating too much butter, eating too much peely nuts is going to get you fat, and it's just not the case. It's the carbohydrates. It's the it's some of the other stuff that the sugar that's going to get you fat.
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point that actually I have a patient this week that I saw who has insulin resistant. He's a pre-diabetic. He's quite a chunky fellow, and we've been and he has insulin resistance. He has a very high insulin level, and it keeps going up and up. And we break down what he's eating. He says, "Oh, you know, I eat tons of nuts. I live on nuts." And I go, "But wait a minute. You know, nuts, whether you know it or not, actually certain nuts have a lot of carbohydrates." And so I actually kind of broke down for him how many carbohydrates he was eating in a day. And he swore, "I don't eat any sugars. I don't eat any starches. And, you know, you're wrong." And then I showed him, you know, how many carbohydrates he was getting in his nuts. And he was blown away. He said, "Geez, I never even thought about that."
Yeah, especially cashews, some of the other nuts. Almonds, not so much, but quite a bit of carbs in almonds as well. Peanuts, which is not a nut, obviously. But
obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and so, I think that's what's unique about, you know, peely nuts is that they're really virtually devoid of carbohydrates.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I always think about there's just not a lot of sources of saturated fat in the Philippines other than in the ocean. There's no prey. There's no animal prey there really to speak of. I guess there's the pigs that were brought over by the Spanish. But so it's a great coconuts, peely nuts are great sources of saturated fat. It's kind of how nature created its saturated fat in the islands there. It's pretty neat when you think about it.
Yeah, you know, I've studied the Catawbans in Papua New Guinea. And about 60% of their calories come from coconut. And that's where they, you know, and they're actually some of the healthiest people in the world. And they smoke like fiends, but they have no coronary artery disease, never. And they've had no strokes. And yet, you know, they're eating, you know, this tremendous amount of saturated fat. And they, you know, they ought to be clogging up their arteries right and left, but they don't.
Yep. It's interesting. There actually are a subspecies of peely nuts in Papua New Guinea.
Ah, well, there you go.
And they eat them. Yep. Not a lot, but because they're difficult to harvest, but they do eat them.
Now, one of the other things I like about peely nuts is that they really have the highest magnesium of any nut. And I've written a lot about the fact that most Americans are really deficient in magnesium. Magnesium is used. We used to get plenty of magnesium out of our soil, but our soil now is completely devoid of magnesium. And we would get that magnesium from the plants that we ate that got that magnesium from the soil. But magnesium is critical, actually, for bowel function. It's actually critical for heart and muscle function. It's also critical for sleep, and it's critical for mood. And when I was, you know, operating on patients, we actually, these people were so deficient in magnesium that we would have to give them IV magnesium four times a day for 48 hours to get their magnesium levels up to support their heart function. So magnesium is really important. And so, why do peely nuts have such interesting, you know, magnesium and copper and zinc and manganese?
That's a great question. You know, yeah, the magnesium thing is pretty interesting. I see a lot of people buying the supplement magnesium. And I just tell them, like, eat some peony nuts. You don't need to supplement. You know, you can get it from actual food source. But the reason is because they grow in this really rich region in the south of the Philippines. It's called the Bicol region. And it's in the Ring of Fire. There's active volcanoes. There's just a couple of volcanoes that went off. Matter of fact, this year and last year. So it's just really rich volcanic soil. That's untouched. I mean, it is unbelievable. You could throw any seed out in this soil and it'll grow. It's just so fertile, lots of rain, incredible soil. So like you were talking about, these are wild grown. These are better than organic. You know, I've had this conversation with many people in stores and doing demos and are they organic? No, they're better. They're wild. No, I don't know. I only want them if they're organic. No. You don't understand. These are wild grown. They're picking them off the trees. And so it's that rich volcanic soil that just, you know, copper, manganese, phosphorus, zinc, all kinds of good stuff.
Now, you mentioned something when we were talking a minute ago. One of the things that's interesting about peony nuts that I've had other people tell me is that they're so satisfying that I've challenged people to eat a stick of butter and, you know, go ahead, let me see you do it. And it's virtually impossible because you get satiated so quickly. And is that one of the reasons why it's really, you know, a great, in a way, weight loss food because of this satiation that happens so fast?
Absolutely, yeah. So, it sounds like a sales pitch, but you literally eat a handful and you get satiated. And you're just not hungry for a while. You know, it takes a little bit to digest them. It's fat. So your body's digesting it over, you know, it's not getting digested instantly like a carbohydrate. And it's taking some time. And it's great for people. The amazing thing about eating all that fat is and I think you could probably talk more about that. You're just not hungry all the time. You're just not hungry. And they really are satiating.
A lot of people ask, well, what's the difference between, in terms of nutritional differences, between sprouted, raw, and roasted?
Yeah, so we sprout them. We soak them, right? So it makes it easier for the body to digest. So we soak them, and then we cook them at a low temperature. The raw peely nuts are great. The issue with raw peely nuts is that they have this skin on them. It's called a testa. And it's imagine a peanut with that skin on the outside, but imagine it almost 10 times as thick and almost leathery. So until you get that skin off and you look at the nut, you don't know whether the nut is bad. As a matter of fact, we actually lose 30% of the nuts to bug bites, or they're rotten underneath. Once we get that skin off, then we can see and we discard them, obviously. So if you're eating the raw ones and you're not checking every nut, you're probably, you know, 3 out of 10 nuts you're eating are not good for you. And matter of fact, bad for your stomach, probably some bugs, who knows what's in there. So the raw ones, we sold them in the beginning. We just said, this is not safe.
Yeah. I've had them. I got them from you, and
yeah.
I didn't like the texture, and you're right. It was a lot of work. And yep.
Yeah, they can be great if you know they're very fresh and you actually peel the skin off them and you do it yourself. It's great. But so then we do some of our nut butters have roasted nuts in them, but it's that sprouting that makes it easier to digest. It's just much easier to digest, breaks down the toxins in the nut, so you don't just pass it through. You actually get some of the minerals from it.
How would you describe the taste of peely nuts for someone who is there anything similar?
Yeah. So it's a mix between a macadamia nut. It's softer than a macadamia, obviously higher fat, which people still can't wrap their head around. They're like, no, macadamia is the highest. No, peely nut is. And then, so it's kind of a macadamia, pistachio, pine nut blend with a little softer texture than a macadamia. That's just my interpretation. I've heard other people say, they've thrown other nuts in there, a little bit of Brazil nut in there maybe. But it's a very buttery, rich tasting, sort of melt in your mouth nut. It's fat. So yeah,
you're right. It's almost, it's almost like, you know, eating butter. I think pine nuts come closest, but it's much softer than even pine nuts. It's a very, very unique taste.
You know what's interesting is we get a lot of people, a lot of older people with bad teeth or dentures, or and they say, no, I can't eat nuts. And I tell them, try it. I think you'll like it. And no, I just can't eat nuts. It's bad for my teeth, whatever. And they eat the peeling nut, and they're like, oh my God, I can finally eat a nut again. It's soft enough where anybody can eat it.
You know, that you bring up a good point. A lot of people have diverticulosis or diverticulitis, and their doctors to a person say, I'm sorry, you know, you cannot eat nuts. Now, I do not tell my patients that, but I think you bring up a good point. This doesn't act like any of the other nuts in terms of these things just basically dissolve.
They do. Yep, exactly right.
All right, I want to shift gears because you have such an interesting and diverse background. And I love these sort of stories, and so do my listeners. I mean, you've been a high-altitude mountain guide, an archaeologist assistant, a commercial fisherman, a kite-surfing instructor, a glaciology field hand, and a climbing bum. So... and lots of other things.
Yeah.
So how in the world do you develop a passion for peeling nuts?
No, it's a crazy story. I'm just going to tell you this before I start with any of this is the word pili in Tagalog, Filipino language, means chosen. So I always tell people the peeling nut chose me. It just happened. For a lot of years, you know, I grew up in Alaska. I grew up with the Native Americans in Alaska. Eskimos in the north of Alaska. I was actually born up in the most northern town in North America. But for years, I was climbing mountains, guiding. In college, I got into climbing mountains. In Alaska, obviously, there's a lot of great mountains. And then I traveled all over the world guiding. I had an injury. I was in Los Angeles, dating a woman in Los Angeles. And I had a lot of energy. And I ended up getting really into CrossFit when it was first coming out. And I got a case of rhabdo, correct me if I say this wrong, because I always do, rhabdomyolysis.
Myelysis.
And I was working, a friend called me, said I need someone to guide some trips on Mount Rainier. I came up to Mount Rainier, I had rhabdo, and climbed the mountain with rhabdo, guiding. Whoa. Yeah, it was a mess. I had 7 days in the hospital. Long story short is I stopped guiding at 37 years old, which was a blessing and a curse. I love the mountains. I miss all of it, but it changed my trajectory. I'm not a 9-to-5 guy, so I ended up kite surfing. I was actually, you know, relaxing after being sick from rhabdo. It took me a while to get over that. My body was completely thrashed. And I saw kite surfing for the first time. I tried it. I'd surfed. I used to work in Hawaii, so I'd surfed in Hawaii quite a bit, but never kite surfed. So I tried kite surfing. I didn't want to go back to a 9-to-5 job. I was done with the guiding. Ended up teaching kite surfing. I went to Brazil, I went to the Caribbean, Mexico, everywhere. Long story short, I ended up in the north of the Philippines, and that's where I tried the peeling nut for the first time. And obviously, yeah, people say, I didn't discover the peeling nut. People have been eating it for thousands and thousands of years. I was just one of the guys to bring it back to the West and share it. I Googled it. I couldn't believe that nobody had heard of it in the U.S., essentially. I mean, there was just nobody selling it. And there was one company, the two American guys, they're kind of the pioneer guys. They're Americans that lived in Macau that were selling it over there. But in the United States, nobody was really selling it. And that's really how I fell into it. So my friends, after I ate it, said, you got to go to Bicol. This is where these nuts are from. So I went to the region. I met some people. And I literally snuck them back in my backpack through customs, went to a store in Los Angeles. I was on Shark Tank. I told this story. Went to a store in Los Angeles. It's called Erewhon. It's a very popular store, very hip store in LA. And I walked in and said, would you guys want to sell these? I had put a bag with a sticker on it, said Peely Nuts. And yeah, sure. You know, so they bought a case of them from me. I didn't even know how much to charge for them. I just said, this much. Okay, sure, we'll take them. A week later, we'll take two cases. 2 weeks later, we'll take four cases. And that's literally how the business started. I had no business background, you know. All my other things were great, but they definitely weren't getting me ready for business.
So, all right. So what were peely nuts used for in the Philippines?
Yeah, great question. So the Philippines, they actually, sugar, they're kind of a treat. So if you're traveling in the Philippines, you go to a place called a Pasalubong, which is like a store of gifts. So if you travel to Vermont, you grab some maple syrup and you bring it back. So if you travel to the Bicol region in the Philippines, it's tradition that you bring back peely nuts for your family. And the peely nut is, they basically deep fry it and sugarcoat it. They use like Karo syrup.
All right.
So, and it's amazing, but it's definitely not healthy. So we put a different twist on it. And that's how we ended up like, we don't need to do this. We don't need to sugarcoat them. These are an amazing product in their self. So we did an unadulterated version of it. We sprouted it and then cooked it. You know, actually, the coconut oil Himalayan salt is sort of my famous product that everybody knows and it's a bestseller. And that was made by mistake. When I first started the company, I it was a big deal. I bought 5,000 bags. It was a big deal for me at the time. It cost me, I can't remember what it cost, but it was a big deal, like a big step. I'm going to buy some printed bags. And on those printed bags, it said coconut oil. Now, they were deep fried in coconut oil. Refined coconut oil, not extra virgin. And if you know refined coconut oil, it's not healthy either, right? It's, if you've ever seen right. copra, they bleach it, they put all kinds of chemicals. I said, we don't need to do this, but I'd already printed the bags. So I said, wait a minute. So we started adding extra virgin organic coconut oil to it. And for some reason, adding that oil to the peely nut just brought out this amazing, made it even more buttery, amazing flavor. And that's sort of how the whole peely nut craze started, really. It was by mistake. I just had it on the bag, so I figured I better throw it in there, and it came out amazing.
Huh. Yeah. So you were kind of forced to use the good stuff, huh?
Exactly. Yep.
Was this episode of rhabdomyolitis, was that a turning point for you in health, or have you always been?
Pistachios, they are one of my go-to nuts on my yes food list in all my best-selling books. Crack into a good source of plant protein with tasty, healthy, wonderful pistachios. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. In fact, it's one of the highest protein nuts out there. I love that wonderful pistachios come in a variety of sizes and flavors, the perfect protein snack for any on-the-go adventure. So whether you're dropping off the kiddos, on a long hike, or running between meetings, fuel up with a healthy and tasty food that loves you back. Wonderful Pistachios will be your new go-to snack. Check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
Interested in health?
No, you know, that was a huge, huge, huge turning point for me. I was feeling pretty bad. After the stint in the hospital, they had me in an IV for 6 or 7 days. And I honestly bullied the doctor into letting me leave. And I can get out of here. I'm fine, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, man, your numbers are still very high. CPK, I believe it was. And I just kept aggressively, I'm going to be fine. And I probably should have stayed a few more days because they were still quite high looking back at it. And I was pretty laid up. So that kind of set me on a journey of health, of trying to heal myself. I was weak. I went to the doctor. They told me, you should be fine by now. Maybe you have chronic fatigue syndrome. You know, all these things. I was having fainting spells, very weird stuff. A little bit of POTS. I think that's, is all kinds of weird stuff. And I don't know if it was damage to my kidney. I have no idea what caused it, but, or I got an infection in the hospital. I have no idea, but it took me a year to feel good again. And along in that year, I spent a lot of time at natural food stores, time on the internet. I learned about fasting. Fasting saved my life, to be honest with you. That was what really put me back into, like, reset my body. I don't know if you're a big proponent of fasting or not, but it was.
Yeah,
it was incredible. I did a 12-day, my first fast I ever did. I was reading an article. Have you ever gone 24 hours without food? And I was like, you know, I don't really, maybe one of my climbing trips or something. I'm not sure I've ever really gone without food. My 24-hour stint, I'm kind of an extremist, went to 12 days. And I felt incredible. I couldn't believe it. After 5 days, I just felt great. I've never been so clear. My mind has never been so clear. So the fasting really helped me. So that was part of it. And then the peeling, that when I first tried it, I had no idea of the breakdown of how keto, how fatty it was. And then, you know, back in 2015, we just started getting deep into keto. So I got into keto as well. I haven't been doing it lately. I had a bad case of COVID, unfortunately. It kind of kicked me out of a bunch of stuff, but yeah, that's what started me on the journey, really, was the rhabdo.
So how did you connect the keto community with Peely Nuts? Was that by accident, or is that you said, hey, this might work for these guys?
No, it was, I'll be honest with you, that was more paleo. And I went to a show called Paleo FX, which was this great show.
I presented there.
Yeah, it's a great show. And it's kind of dwindled now and it's not doing so good, but
yeah,
for various reasons, I don't know, but
COVID.
COVID, and there's a bunch of weird political stuff, but it was a great show. I went there and I met some guys, and some of the early keto guys, like Jimmy Moore, I was on his podcast, some of these early keto guys, and they're like, this nut is amazing, and we just took it from there. So I mean, we've been doing the keto, basically the keto crowd loved what we were doing and has supported me since 2015, 2014, they jumped on it, and it's been a big part of our business.
So Peely Nuts are really hard to acquire. I mean, they're hard to harvest. Why did this get started in the first place, I guess, is the first question.
I mean, started for me or started for them?
For them.
Yeah. I think it goes back to that. This product is so cool. Yeah, it's incredibly difficult. So they climb up, these guys, you know, and I've seen 60-year-old guys that are in some of the videos on my webpage and YouTube. These guys, some of these guys are 60 years old. You wouldn't believe it. They climb up 100 feet off in these trees. And I used to climb, and I'm like, oh, I would never do what they're doing.
Don't do that.
It's incredible. They're walking across limbs. They're pulling down. And you get one fruit has the nut in it. So on the outside of the fruit is this it almost looks like a small avocado. It's pretty neat. You look it up. You can you see what it's like. It looks like a small avocado. That outside flesh of that fruit is actually edible, and it's very good. It's very earthy. It also can be turned into oil, which we're working on right now. It's got a very similar profile to olive oil. And once you get that fruit off, then you have this hard shell nut. They actually chop that nut by hand with a machete. They've tried to create machines, but the machine ends up breaking the nut, making it hard to get it out. So these guys, they actually have competitions in the region who can chop the fastest, and they can do many, many, many kilos in a day. It's very incredible to watch, but it's all done by hand. Then when you get the nut out of the shell, you've got that testa, which I was talking about before, which is the skin. That has to be soaked off. We sprout it, we soak it, take it off, and then we dehydrate it. Then we bag it up, and then we ship it across to the States. Yeah, it's too much work. It's incredible. It's an incredible amount of work. And that's why they are a little bit more expensive. And I tell people, we don't really want to see it. Sure, we'd love to see it cheaper so more people can eat it. But on the other hand, we want to keep the people working. And it's the Philippines. The wage is not the same in the U.S. And we want to create jobs. And so anyway, it's a lot of work. We don't want to lower the price too much. We want to make sure everybody gets a fair wage along the supply chain. And that's what happens with a lot of these places is the farmer ends up getting very little, and the big stores are making all the money. The middlemen are making all the money and the farmer's not getting a lot. And we're trying to make sure they get a fair wage. But it's incredibly difficult. And I don't recommend anybody touches this product. It's just too difficult. There's so many little steps along the way. If you mess up, the product doesn't come out good. It's a very difficult product.
And I mean, these trees are in the wild, right? I mean, you know, you don't have a plantation
Great question. Yeah, they're trying to, and that's another thing. I've got some more videos you can check out about that. But yeah, they're wild, and I'll be honest with you, the Philippines is laden in the rice fields and some of the other regions. They're spraying the hell out of it, unfortunately, with pesticides. And I'm pretty anti-pesticide. I like organic, wild. So I did a bunch of research on it, and the pili trees are basically above any of that spraying activity. So they're typically on the edge of the mountainsides. So any of the rice fields and all that stuff is below. So all the stuff, if there is any pesticides or any of that stuff, it's being washed down. But yeah, they're growing wild. They're trying to, matter of fact, I was just at a, 6 months ago or so, I was at a place where they're grafting the trees, and they're trying to make sort of plantation style, more plantation style, but it crops really well with other stuff. So you can plant other stuff near it, and it seems to do really well. And you can't grow it like an almond. It needs a male pollinator. So it's nothing what you, they brought me to a region that they called like a monocrop farm, and it's like the forest. It's not the same as what you could imagine, driving through Central California, right? It's jungle. It's pretty interesting. And there's a lot of trees that are untapped, that are just out in the forest that nobody's gathering. It just falls to the forest floor and nobody's gathering. But the more interest that we're creating with it, and the more that they can make money by gathering them, they'll go get them.
So I take it that one of the things that drives you is this sustains a local culture, sustains a community, and you're not plowing down fields to plant palm trees for palm oil and destroying the jungle.
Style. Yeah, no, it's not my style. People ask me that all the time. Is it harming? No, we're actually not at all. We don't harm anything. A lot of the fruit, I walk through the forest, and you can see the little peely sprouting. So each one of these fruits is a peely seedling ready to grow, essentially, right? So it falls to the ground. That outer shell, that outer fruit is full of all kinds of nutrients and minerals that feed. It decays, turns into soil, and it feeds that little plant. It's really interesting. No, we're not. That's not my style at all. We're trying to actually do the opposite of that. We're trying to make it as sustainable as possible. The product itself is incredibly sustainable. So that outer fruit is edible. Back in the day, they were feeding it to pigs, but we're trying to find better uses for it now. The shell is used for cooking fuel. So they take the shell and they actually cook fuel with it. And if they can't use it for cooking fuel, they'll sell it, personal cooking fuel. They'll actually sell it to coconut facilities, and they'll use it to heat up whatever they're using in the process of making coconut. They'll use the shells. And then we obviously are eating the nut. So it's a really, really cool, neat product, similar to coconut, where you can pretty much use everything.
Why do you think Americans never heard of this nut? Was it all just locally consumed there, and there wasn't any for export, happened along?
Pretty much, they were just eating it. You know, China, some of these other countries have known about it and eaten it for quite some time. But pretty much, and then also, it's a very difficult product. It's got to be done right. And then it was only that one. They only just sugarcoated it. That's all they did with it. And so maybe that's why. But I get people that. Filipino Americans or Filipinos that write me all the time, like, what? I've been thinking about this for years. Why didn't I do this? You know, I don't know why. I really don't know why, because a lot of American soldiers were over there. I'm not sure why it was never brought back and introduced to the U.S.
How did you go from, you know, selling these out of the back of a truck or walking into a grocery store, and now you're a multi-million dollar company, right?
Yeah, it just kind of happened. It went from, you know, I never took any money. I never did any of that. It just kind of went from $100 to $200, you know, that first initial, to $500 to $1,000 to, you know, we were buying, you know, 100 pounds to 200 pounds to 1,000 pounds to multiple tons to, you know, and so it just kind of happened. I had no idea what I had. I didn't know people that were going to be that excited about it. And it just kind of took off. And we could have probably been a lot bigger. You know, we turned down a lot of like Whole Foods contracts, and in the beginning, we just weren't ready for that stuff. The supply chain was not there. The processing facilities were not there. They're very mom and pop, and now we've built them up quite a bit, and we can do, you know, a lot bigger numbers, but it's definitely never going to be, like an almond, right? I could put a phone call in right now and have 50 tons of almonds sitting here next week. It's not the same with peely nuts. It's just it's a lot of effort and it's a small harvest as well on a relative basis compared to some of the other nuts in the world. It's a very small harvest.
Are peely nuts from year to year about the same availability? Or, for instance, we hear about, oh, this was a bad year for macadamia nuts, or this is a horrible year for almonds.
That's a great question. Yeah, no, it's up and down for sure. And that's another reason. You know, a lot of big corporations have looked at the peely nut, and if they don't see, you know, $250 million in revenue there, they just don't even bother, right? They just want to see the big, huge numbers, and it's just not there. It's a small crop on a relative basis. But yeah, it goes up and down. There's great seasons, and then there's not so great seasons. And a lot of it has to do with the climate there. That particular region gets hammered by typhoons regularly. And they say that a very big typhoon, when it comes and knocks all the fruit out of the tree, the next season will be a good season. So yeah, they call it typhoon tree, actually. And it's one of the trees that they promote to plant for typhoon resistance. It does really well in these storms. That's something, I didn't mean to cut you off there. There's something I want to talk about as well. These are naturally pollinated. It's not like almonds in the Central Valley where they're trucking in bees from Florida. I was just thinking about the hurricane in Florida that devastated the bee population. So there's some issues right now with the almond industry. This is naturally pollinated by bees in the jungle, by birds, which is pretty interesting. They have a local, like, toucan-esque bird that called a kala that flies around there that actually will eat the fruit and drop it. And they've spread it all over the region. It's pretty interesting.
Now, you don't just have the kind of typical salted peely nut. You're much more diverse than that. What else do you do?
Yeah, I do too many things, honestly. I meet people. Speaking of that, we sell this the world's most healthy honey, which is a stingless bee honey from the Philippines that is actually a pollinator, is one of the pollinators of the peely tree. We call it peelywat honey. The local name is kiwat. In order so people wouldn't just copy what we're doing, we called it peelywat. And they're actually pollinating the peely trees. And they're this sting, they look like an ant, but they create this honey, this fermented honey. I don't know if you've ever had it. I'll send you some if you haven't. But
no, I haven't.
Yeah, it's very interesting. It's got about 40% more water than your traditional honey. So it actually ferments a little bit. It's got a sweet, sour taste. It's almost like a kombucha-esque honey. I don't know how else to describe it. It's not something that you could eat like a regular honey, but it's very interesting. We sell that. We sell hot sauce, and then I sell the world's best hot sauce. It's this amazing hot sauce from the Philippines. It's called Buyo. It's made from the Saling Labuyo, which was once thought to be the hottest pepper in the world. It's a local Filipino chili. And that is literally, I don't have time to really push it too hard, but it's the best hot sauce on the planet.
And it's fermented, right?
It's fermented as well. Yeah, yeah. So,
And folks, remember that fermentation breaks down the lectins that are in peppers. And, you know, all traditional cultures have always, you know, learned to ferment their peppers to break down the harmful particles, or to peel and de-seed peppers, which is another method. But, fermenting.
Cool. Very cool. Yeah, and then we sell, obviously, too many flavors of peely nuts, but they're great. Every one of them is really good. So we have a bunch of different flavors of peely nuts, coconut oil, pink Himalayan salt. We actually have a curry flavor that's amazing. We even made a pinoy style one that's has a little bit of sugar in it. It's the only one. The rest of ours are keto. We've just got a bunch of different flavors.
And you got peely nut butter too, right?
We do. I have too many SKUs, but yes, I have peely nut butter. People just keep at whenever I'm like, we're going to stop selling that. It's too much effort. People write me like, please, please keep selling it. We love this. So we do sell peely nut butter as well. Yep.
So do you have any cool ways to use peely nuts in recipes that you can share with our audience rather than just have a handful?
Yeah, I like to, if you're a meat eater, I like to crust meats with them. Into pasta, it doesn't have to be, it can be a gluten-free pasta. You can make like a pesto out of them, which is great. snack on them, obviously. You can, a lot of people, I've been using them for like charcuterie boards lately as their little, they put the peely nuts on there. And it's kind of a cool, one thing about the peely nut that's very cool is that people love to introduce new things to people. So you walk out and you say, you know, people go, what the heck are those? Like, oh, it's a peely nut. You've never heard of this? And people just love to introduce things. But there's all kinds of stuff. You can put them in shakes. We have people that make pizza crust and bagels out of them. And these are people that are in deep ketosis for medical reasons.
Right.
Brain cancer survivors, typically, who see them use. I give, and that's something I just like throw out there. I always give a deal to people if they've got a serious health problem. I'm always happy to hook them up and give them some and let them try them. I've seen everything. Pizza crust, bagels. You can do all kinds of cool stuff. I like to just take the nuts and maybe warm them up on a skillet a little bit and eat them warm. They just seem to be really good like that. It brings out the oils and, yeah, they taste great.
One of my staff swears by your cocoa-coated peeling nuts. She said it tastes just like a fat bomb to her.
Yeah, those are good too. We use raw cacao on those. Those have just a hint of sugar. And I don't know what your stance is on some of the artificial sweeteners, but we've been toying with different stuff, and I'd love to hear your opinion on it.
Stay away from pretty much all of them except allulose. And I'm a huge fan of allulose, which is actually a true rare sugar. There's nothing artificial about it. Get the non-GMO allulose. But allulose has some huge health benefits, believe it or not. Yeah. So look into that.
I will.
All right. So what's next for you and Peely Hunters? Are we going to see you in Costco? Come on. Help us out here.
Yeah, we're always trying to grow, and we're trying to get bigger. And hopefully, yeah, we're finding a position where we can do that. We've got some cool things in the works, and hopefully you'll see us at some new, bigger stores. And right now, you know, we do a lot of e-commerce business, but we'd love to be on the shelf in Costco or BJ's, or maybe revisit that Whole Foods contract that we walked away from before.
Well, I know Thrive Market, who I'm a big fan of, carries your nuts, and you can find it on Amazon. Do most people find you via your website, or where do your sales come from?
Yeah, we all of the above. Thrive does great for us. Amazon, we love to sell direct to people. We always, you know, we've got the best quality control here out of our warehouse, and we just love to sell direct. We can give you the best deals, and obviously we sell on all these other platforms, but buy from us, really. It's the best way.
Now, I guess you've got a special offer for our audience today to try out your peely nuts for themselves.
Yeah. Come on by and check it out. Use Dr. Gundry, the code Dr. Gundry, DR Gundry, and then we'll give you 20% off. We just want to get it in people's hands. And I'll throw in, if you put a little note in there that you saw this podcast, I'll throw in an extra gift on top of it. Just throw in some extra stuff so you can try.
Oh, man. I'm doing it. So what website do they go to?
You go to eatpeelynuts.com. So EATPILINUTS, or Peely Hunters. Both URLs will work. Peelyhunters.com.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, keep hunting the peely nuts for us. And Jason, it's a great story. Congratulations. And we'll look for you in Whole Foods and Costco tomorrow. No.
Exactly. <It'll> be, I appreciate you having me on. Thanks. It's been fun.
No, it's really good. And folks, you got to try these. I'm a big fan of them. They're unique. There's nothing like them, quite frankly. And if you're into keto, like, you know, the last book, Unlocking the Keto Code, this should be a part of your program. So, big fan. And Jason,
pistachios, they are one of my go-to nuts on my Yes Food list in all my best-selling books. Crack into a good source of plant protein with tasty, healthy, wonderful pistachios. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. In fact, it's one of the highest protein nuts out there. I love that wonderful pistachios come in a variety of sizes and flavors, the perfect protein snack for any on-the-go adventure. So whether you're dropping off the kiddos, on a long hike, or running between meetings, fuel up with a healthy and tasty food that loves you back. Wonderful Pistachios will be your new go-to snack. Check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
Keep up the good work. Thanks for joining us today. All right, now it's time for our audience question. Cindy on Facebook writes, Dr. Gundry, if the pumpkin is peeled and deseeded, like all canned pumpkin is, can we just use pumpkin instead of sweet potato in the pie recipe you recently shared? If not, why? Well, that's a great question. Yeah, the lectins are primarily in the peels and the seeds of the squash family, and the pumpkin is part of the squash family. My big objection with the squash family, besides the lectin content, is remember these are fruits. And the sugar content in pumpkins is not insignificant. So, and the starch content, the resistant starches in, say, sweet potatoes, is much higher than in pumpkins. So you're right, there's nothing evil and awful about, you know, organic pumpkin used in a recipe. But the reason I'm trying to get you interested in alternatives that have been used by communities for generations, like a sweet potato pie, is that it may have some additional health benefits for you, and it may reduce the overall sugar content that you're going to eat. But that's a great question. Again, peeling and deseeding is one of the traditional ways of lessening lectin content in any food. I was recently over in France, and the cucumbers over in France at all the crudité tables, the cucumbers were peeled and deseeded. And you go, wow, obviously they know something that we should know. All right, time for the review of the week. Nelson Ortega watched my video about healthiest meat products and said, thank you for sharing that information with us, Dr. Gundry. You are great in informing us with science facts given these times when there is way too much processed foods being passed off as healthy options. I appreciate your effort to put our health before those that want to sell us products that would harm us in the long run. Well, thanks a lot, Nelson. Yeah, I'm trying every day to sort through what is good for you and good for your body and good for the planet. And those are not incompatible things, but so many times we hear the word, for instance, plant-based, and assume that because it's plant-based, it's healthy, number one. Number two, if we hear the word plant-based, we assume it's not ultra-processed, which unfortunately most of these products are. And we hear the word organic, and we assume that because it's organic, that it's good for us. Well, I can assure you that organic wheat and organic corn and organic soybeans are not health foods. And if we make things out of these organic things, it's not going to benefit our health. So, buyer beware, and I'm glad I could help you out with that, Nelson.
Thanks for joining me on this episode of the Dr. Gundry Podcast. Before you go, I just wanted to remind you that you can find the show on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you want to watch each episode of the Dr. Gundry Podcast, you can always find me on YouTube at youtube.com/Dr. Gundry. Because I'm Dr. Gundry, and I'm always looking out for you.